This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest. I'm T. Xiao Ik, and with me in the studio, Juliet Jacobs. So for this hour, or the rest of this hour, we have one story for you. And we're looking at the fact that now live events will be allowed from the 1st of July onwards. And so the local performing arts industry will be able to begin operations again. So we want to take a look at how they will be staging shows under the Recovery Movement Control Order and what challenges they will face under this new normal.
And as always, if you have any thoughts on this topic, you know you can always tweet us at BFM Radio, or you can send us a WhatsApp message at 018-789-8899. Let us know, are you excited, you know, to get back into theatres, you know, performing arts theatres, or are you still a little bit hesitant?
Yes, will you be planning to attend the show?
That's right. Yeah.
So, as I said, it was announced on just Monday that from the 1st of July, cinemas, theatres and live events will be allowed to resume. And now, this was much welcome news for the local performing arts industry, which has been struggling a lot since the pandemic and the movement control order hit us. And as we've mentioned several times on this very show, the industry is almost entirely dependent on profits brought in from shows. And with no public gatherings or live events that have been allowed for more than 3 months, many arts workers have found their livelihoods seriously affected, if not entirely lost.
Yes, very tragic. And this will be a welcome measure, of course, for local arts workers. According to a recent survey by the Cultural Economy Development Agency, Chandana, 70% of our local arts practitioners have lost all or most of their income during the MCO, and 56% of these have families to support.
However, though, the reopening will still have SOPs as per the RMCO measures. And for performances, these would include, number one, only allowing shows in closed spaces, not allowing children below the age of 12 to attend, taking temperature checks for everyone attending, as well as imposing 1 meter of physical distancing between each attendee, with a maximum of 250 people, depending on the capacity of the venue.
Yes, and because of these SOPs, many arts workers have expressed concerns that even though they are now allowed to operate, that they might have challenges actually making profits from their shows, particularly since the limited audience numbers will mean that they can't meet their minimum ticket sales requirements to, you know, cover those operation costs. And to put it in simpler terms, most venues will be operating at 30 to 40% capacity, but the cost of putting on a show will remain mostly the same.
Yeah. And the other challenge is whether audiences themselves are ready to come back to watch these shows. While many sectors are slowly opening up, it remains to be seen whether everyone is comfortable, say, sitting in a closed theatre to watch performances, right?
Yeah.
Or whether they can even afford to do so under our current economic climate.
That's right. So to unpack some of these issues, we have on the line Deong Che Lien, who's the Executive Director of PJ Live Arts. Thank you for joining us, Che Lien. So firstly, how did you react when you heard the announcement that theatres and live events will now be allowed from the 1st of July?
Cautiously optimistic, in the sense that I'm not sure the public is ready to go, to go out to see shows. So no matter how well we prepare, nothing is going to happen unless there is an actual audience. So that, I think, to me, is the more the sort of the unknown factor is whether or not people will come. I mean, I think, you know, the artists themselves, would love to sort of go back to work, to perform. I think the reality is that with the reduced capacity for a lot of venues, I think sustainability will be a big issue, particularly for the producers and the venues. And that, of course, will impact the sustainability and livelihoods of the artists, in the sense that, you know, obviously there will be virtually very little commercial theatre or performing arts. And then it becomes another question, which is, you know, will artists, or will the artists who have normally, you know, been part of the scene, will they be able to afford to continue being artists? Or will they have to, you know, find other work in order to sustain themselves? So I think the financial dynamics have changed, and not necessarily for the better.
And could you elaborate on that? You know, how does the reduced capacity affect the financial aspects of putting on a show?
I think for the venue operator, your reduced capacity means you will find it challenging to get commercial producers to pay the kind of rates for your venue, which you might have been able to command previously. Mm-hmm. If you're a if you're a commercial producer, basically you get zero subsidies. You may or may not get sponsors. So the bulk of your revenue is dependent on ticket sales. Mm-hmm. So with a reduced capacity, it means that your revenue is somewhat limited. And that will, of course, impact the way you budget for a production. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's a trickle-down effect means that, you know, artists have to decide, you know, why are they doing this? And, you know, are they willing to basically only perform when there is a subsidy from, you know, a grant or something? Mm-hmm. Or if you're, for example, those who are comedians usually get zero subsidy, mm-hmm. And they very much rely on audiences to pay. Mm-hmm. If they don't get a very big audience, which is going to be the case from now on, you know, how are they going to sustain themselves and pay their bills? And do they want to continue? So that will be an issue. I think in the future, it doesn't look great lah, mm-hmm. Financially.
You know, will an adjustment in ticket prices be realistic considering the audiences that we have?
No. I mean, I think that with the impact of the virus on many different types of audiences, I mean, you know, everyone is suffering from either losing their jobs or having to have their salaries reduced, etc. So I think that the ability to buy, mm-hmm. is very much reduced you know, within the general public. So whether or not they can pay the kind of ticket prices, which we used to charge, that will be up in question. And so then definitely they won't be able to pay more than that, which, you know, in terms of supply and demand is logically what you'd have to do to make up for the loss of seats. So that will be the issue is we don't really know how badly our type of audiences have currently been impacted, mm-hmm. until, of course, we start operating. And then, you know, I guess the proof of the pudding is in the eating, whether or not people will bite.
So when performances reopen, how can venue owners and theatre companies ensure that arts workers still get paid their due?
That's probably one of the big questions we have, which is why many of us are also waiting to see what type of, I guess, incentives and subsidies the government is willing to put into the arts. As for PJ Live Arts, we've already kind of converted our venue into a dinner theatre venue, mm-hmm. because we hope that we can, you know, sell food and beverage to make up for the slight loss in income.
Right.
Whether or not that will be sufficient will remain to be seen, because, mm-hmm. basically I think for virtually all venues you're looking at a two-thirds reduction of your capacity in order to maintain distancing. On top of that, for Gardner and Wife Theatre, because our specialty is children's theatre, mm-hmm. that whole segment is now gone, because children under 12 are no longer allowed to attend live events. So, you know, all these are issues which everyone is grappling with. And certainly for a lot of artists, they're having to find it, they're finding it difficult to make ends meet. Even if we want to plan for future productions, one of the issues we are facing now is, are there any actors available? It may well be that, you know, even the resources, you know, the artist resources will also be depleted.
Chilian, you mentioned government initiatives or subsidies. What kind of measures will actually help the performing arts industry at this time?
I think for the artists themselves, some kind of cash subsidy, I think, would be very helpful, because many of the artists, you know, still have to pay rent. They have to eat. Many of them are freelancers. So that means that they go, you know, they do different types of jobs. So traveling is an issue. For the producers and the venues, incentives like, tax incentives would be quite useful. Also, tax exemption for, companies, arts companies, that would be very useful, because it would then incentivize the public to support the performing arts as well. But I suppose ultimately, it's creating an environment which encourages the public to, I guess, support the arts by both attending and also, supporting in other ways, financially as well as in kind. But it is a very scary time, I think, for any kind of live activity. And I'm not sure we will really understand understand the impact for at least a few more years. But this has really been a real life changer, I think, for many of us, because it sort of makes you wonder, you know, what you can actually do in this kind of situation.
And what about all the behind the scenes aspects of putting on a show, you know, such as planning and rehearsals and so on? What kinds of measures will theatre companies have to take now that measures like sanitizing, physical distancing, you know, wearing masks, all of that are now a norm?
I was sent an SOP a few weeks back, mm-hmm. but that SOP does not appear to be online. I mean, it's not on the MKN website. So many of us think that the SOP has not yet actually been finalized. Also, that SOP only talks about the audience, the distancing and sanitation requirements of people attending performances. It does not really address the SOP for the performers themselves. We don't really know whether or not how restrictive that's going to be. Because, you know, obviously in the performing arts, you know, if you're dancing or whatever, you are on stage very close. Obviously, that will also affect, I guess, the type of performing arts which will be allowed, at least for the near future. And I know there are currently SOPs already in place for film. So for shooting, right now, I think they're already in operation and there are SOPs involved. Mm-hmm. Again, it's very, there's a lot of things you basically still cannot do based on the SOPs. Mm. So I think it's going to be quite a steep learning curve for many of us. Many of the performing arts in Malaysia physically are fairly intimate, in the sense that we don't, you know, there isn't any social distancing as such. So once we have to implement that, it's going to be interesting to see how that would work out, particularly for very physically demanding performances. It will be very challenging to see whether or not we can actually continue doing those kinds of performances.
Thank you so much for speaking to us, Che Lien. That was Deong Che Lien, Executive Director of PJ Live Arts, taking us behind the scenes, I guess, to what all these relaxations, or rather with theatre spaces and live events being allowed to take place, what does it actually mean for them? And it's not looking as rosy as it might seem initially, yeah. Right?
I mean, that was what everyone wanted, right? Let's reopen, you know, yes. Let's get kickstarted. But there's so many things that they have to take into consideration, yeah. And so many uncertainties still remain. Really difficult.
I mean, we're talking about a sector that even previously, pre-COVID, had already sort of, you know, wasn't exactly thriving in Malaysia.
That's right.
Getting in audiences, getting in packed shows was always going to be a problem. Mm-hmm. And so now, with such reduced capacity, how are they going to, just survive, right?
Survive. But that makes sense to even put on a show, you know?
Exactly, because there are so many people, a whole crew is involved in putting on a show. Mm-hmm. You have to pay all of them. It's not just about, oh, revive the arts and make it alive again.
Yeah.
We're talking about people's livelihoods here. They all need to be paid.
Exactly, and if you're going to make a loss, I mean, you might as well not do it in that sense. Mm. I don't know. That's a really horrible thing to say, but I don't know enough about the business of the arts to comment. But it seems pretty tough times ahead as well.
Mm. And just the other point that Chelian brought up, that the SOPs from the government refer to how you deal with audiences, but is lacks clarity on how the crew themselves must work and how the onstage performance should take place. And I think that's really important, because again, we're talking about quite a wide variety in terms of the kinds of performances that are staged, and how they need guidance, because at the end of the day, it is about, they don't want to do things that are going to get them in trouble
and, you know, make people feel unsafe as well, right? They want their audiences to feel safe and secure coming for these shows, otherwise the audiences aren't going to come. And then
I guess they can just, we'll just probably see a lot of monologues for a while.
Oh dear. But are you looking forward to, you know, to going to performing arts shows should they come back?
I have to admit, I still feel very reluctant, even entering right now, going out into public spaces. I'm only keeping it to the essentials for now. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know whether I'm fully comfortable myself to sit down in a confined space for, let's say, a couple of hours.
That's right. And I mean, another thing is, you know, we've all had to, take some financial cuts, for example. Mm-hmm. So, and for me, performing arts performances, that was a luxury, which, you know, I'm sadly might have to cut out of my you know, budget moving forward for a while at least. So, and I'm sure I'm not alone in that sense. We did have a comment though on WhatsApp. Michael WhatsApped in to say, why not go digital streaming for the arts? You know, we can still sell tickets for the online audience. When you go online, of course, there is a global audience as well. And he suggested that they can even sell a take-home menu with online live streaming bundled into the whole package. So that's an interesting idea. Who knows? I think a lot of people have tried to go digital. I guess the feel is different as well, you know, with the performances.
Absolutely.
You know,
and the reality is there's a different kind of investment involved there to ensure that you have the right equipment and resources to stage something well digitally for a digital audience.
Exactly. And if it isn't staged well, you are alienating, you know, lots of audience who will just not think much of your performance. And
unless your take-home menu is really great. Well, keep those thoughts coming in. You can tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. I'm afraid that's all the time that we have for today's show. Do look us up on our Facebook page as well. We are at BFM The Bigger Picture, if you'd like to drop us a message there. So if you missed any part of the show today, you can download the podcast on bfm.my/dailydigest, on our BFM app or on Spotify. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour is Live and Learn, where Dashun Johan will be speaking to James Tu, author of a book called Palooka, 12 Rounds to Fatherhood. And that's about James's personal struggle with infertility. We will leave you now with Queen, with, of course, The Show Must Go On, right here on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.